this morning's sermon is Saul, a man like a leader lacking integrity. You know, we have all types of leaders today. And in history, we've had all types of leaders. And I've been listening at sermons and things about Saul, the King Saul. And that God had worked with Saul, and he was the first king of Israel, of God's people. I'm in the camp. There are two different camps. Some people believe Saul was saved and was a servant, and some don't believe Saul was a saved man. I have to keep following this and throughout the years and things. I think I'm in the camp where I don't believe Saul was a saved person. I don't believe he was saved. That's because of his character. And I look at our leaders today. You can look at your pastor, your president, your father, your mother, anybody. And a lot of times what you think about that person is due to that person's character, his integrity. That's why John the Baptist says, bring forth fruits meet for the repentance. Fruits meet for repentance. Now, integrity is what you are without anybody watching. Integrity is what you are at that moment of night when you're by yourself, when no one else is around, when it's nothing to prove. That's why he said that Job was a man that kept his integrity. No matter what happens, as Sister Harris was declaring, all through whatever trouble and thing go on, do you keep your integrity? Do you lose composure and become somebody else and resort to what you used to be or what God's, a son of God, shouldn't be? We're looking at King Saul today, and I believe by the results of God's word, we see that Saul is a type or a shadow of a professed believer, an unrepentant believer, a believer that doesn't follow the word of God, that really doesn't care but about God. And unlike the people today, they'll have religion, but it's after their own heart. They'll have God, but it's not for the purpose of serving God. They're self-centered and their mind is not on God. Especially if we would look at people around us. Let's look at our nation. Our scripture text today is 1 Samuel. All of us should be familiar with King Saul. He was the first king of Israel. The 9th chapter of 1 Samuel, from the first verse to the 31st chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 13th verse. There's some intervening books that has correspondence to Saul. But that's where the whole life of Saul is went over. Our reading scripture came from the book of Romans this morning, the 13th chapter and the 29th verse. It says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, if you go to Romans to look at that, that was the Apostle Paul. He had started and embarked upon something telling the people about God rejecting his people. God had rejected his people, and they had provoked him. And if you read that whole thing, you'll see it was on God's promise, in depending upon God's word, what God had said. Let's read that. Romans 13th chapter. I might have put that, transcribed that wrong. It's the 11th chapter. It says 13 on your paper, but it should say 11. But we're going to start up at the 28th verse. It says, as concerning the gospel, they are all enemies for your sake, but as touching the elections, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past has not believed and has not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so as have also these now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God had concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So God had put his people under that umbrella of unbelief. He had allowed them so that he could have compassion and mercy on all, and it wasn't any difference between the two. So as God had called Samuel, God called Elijah, God called Samson. God calls us. God calls us all, but there are only a few chosen. But God promises that he's going to keep his people. Now, we've been talking about regeneration through the book of Zephaniah and in our search studies of Zephaniah, and it's about receiving a new heart. Receiving a new heart and being new by man. But what we see sometimes, we have to study God's word and we have to ask of his spirit to enlighten us in just what's going on. And can we sometimes interpret the scriptures to our private interpretation and not see what God is trying to show us? I think a lot of us missed the lesson in what God's trying to show us in Saul. Now, let's get to our lesson today. That's a kind of a strange introduction, I know. But what I'm trying to show you today is that you can be in the church and following God as those that had did things in Jesus' name, who had cast out devils and fed the needy, but God never knew them. Sometimes you can display or be in the church, but not be born again. Remember I told you about being regenerated and being born again. Now, the first point here, the old man, as the people were. Saul was just like the people of his time, just like everybody today, or like most of the people of our time, unless God has called you out. He wasn't thinking about pleasing God. He probably didn't have God on his mind. Like most people today don't have God on their mind unless it's something they want from God or for God to do something for them. The people were rebelling against God, and the people told Samuel, well, your children are not following God, and you're getting old, Samuel, and we want a king like everybody else around us. And they asked for a king, and God gave them a king. He gave them a king that's just like them. See, God gives us leaders just like we are. The leaders are representative of what the people are. That's a bad statement today. Now, if you look at it, if the people of this nation are like our leader, we're in awful trouble. We're a nation without integrity and without character. If that same statement is true, what God did for them, if God has done that to us, if God has given us a leader after our own heart like he gave Saul, because notice this, they asked for a leader and they asked for it. God gave them Saul, but God knew he was going to have to turn away from Saul. God knew that Saul wasn't going to be the man. God gives you. Be careful what you're asking for. Be careful what you ask for God to give it to you. And that could be a problem. It was a problem with Saul. We'll see that in the conclusion. Now, Saul at first seemed to be a humble person. Sometime until you put in a position or in a place, you don't see what a person is. Under pressure, as Sister was saying this morning, not until you have run into trouble or run into obstacles can you tell whether your faith coming out or whether your confidence and trust in man is coming out. Whether your confidence and trust in self is coming out. 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter and the 21st verse. God had told Samuel to anoint Saul as king. And Saul showed he was kind of humble. Saul replied, am I not a Benjamite, the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And is not my family the smallest of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken this way to me as if I were very important? He wasn't seeking God or whatever, but here Samuel come to him and tell him that God's going to make him the king of Israel, the king of all his people. It was a big task, and Saul wondered why this was going on. And in his own eyesight, he looked at small. He looked at insignificant, unimportant. As a lot of us, when we get into the church, or before we get in the church, sometimes we see our frailties, and we see that we're lacking something. But oh, wait. You just wait till we come forward. Sometimes the most passive, the most shy people and everything, give them a while. It's just like people on Facebook and on Twitter and all this. The anonymity of the appealing to the masses, it brings out what's evil into them. You know, most of the people on Twitter and doing all those things online and everything are gutless. They are mighty small people, and they're just playing to please people and looking for a following of people. They have no integrity, no character. Saul was hidden, they say. Saul was hidden. 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, in the 21st verse, we see where they had to even look for Saul. When they kept looking for this man that Samuel was talking about, and they was trying to determine who was going to be their king, it says, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come nearby the families, the family of Matra was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought for him, he could not be found. Where is Saul at? Therefore they inquired of the Lord, Father, if the man should yet come hither. And the Lord answered the people and said, look, behold, he had hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any other people from his shoulders upwards. He was in the image of man. People liked him. He was tall. He was good hair. Good appearance. Looked it like, you know, he should have been leader. Head and shoulders above everybody else. But see, he was in the image of man. All this goes back way to the garden, because what did God say? Let us make man after our image, after our likeness. Not after any image of man. See, all men are being made in the image of Adam, which is fallen, which is not upright. No men are upright. They're crooked. We need to be made, shaped, and formed in God's image, in his likeness. But Saul was a man after man's image. And the people liked it that. The people, that appealed to the people. So God said, let me work with him here. God gave Saul, it says he gave him a new heart, right? We've read that in two different places. Samuel, the 10th chapter, the 6th and the 9th verse. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come up on thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Turned into another man. Now, notice, you remember I told you earlier in that introduction that we were looking for to be regenerated, to be a new man, to be a new person with a new heart. But see, that was something that we were looking for, and I told you that required faith and it required repentance. But did you see any faith on Saul's part here? Faith wasn't there in the New Testament. It had to be trust and belief. And if you've read the story of Saul, you'll know that he didn't know anything spiritual. He didn't seek or pursue or follow after God. But God conditioned, that's why it says, the gifts and callings of God in the book of Romans is not under repentance. This wasn't about repentance. This is about getting God's job done. Getting in, God appointed him as a leader. God made him a leader. He says, you're going to become as a new man. Verse 9 says, as Saul turned and started to leave, God gave him a new heart, and all Samuel's signs were fulfilled. Now, what happened back then during those times, the Spirit of God would come up on certain individuals to empower or equip them for use by God. It would come up on them as in Genesis 41 and 38, Exodus 28 and 3, Numbers 27 and 18, Deuteronomy 34 and 9, Daniel 4 and 8, Daniel 5 and 14, Daniel 6 and 3. It was different from the Spirit coming up on you and the Spirit indwelling you as today. That was the difference in the hearts. That was the difference. It says he changed it. In other words, he gave him leadership capabilities. He made him to where he can lead the people. But it didn't change his character. It wasn't pending on integrity. It wasn't pending on a turn or repentance. If this was a gift of leadership. And that's why I told you, we in trouble today. If we would look at our churches, if we would look at our political leaders, we're in trouble. None of them have integrity. There's no character there.
There's no moral stability. We're in a nation that's in trouble. We're a people that's in deep trouble.
1 Samuel, the 11th chapter, the 7th verse. This is what the leader did. He took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, "Whoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. You remember I told you that leadership, that's why a lot of leaders try to threaten other nations and other people. A lot of people try to threaten their children or their spouses or in the church to preach, to try to wield authority and power and everything as leadership. But see, those of us that are of the true spirit, we know it's not by spirit, by power, and it's not by might, but it's by God's spirit. Yes. That God's spirit empowers these things. That God places us in authority. It's the sovereignty of God that counts. And this is what our leadership is lacking today. This is what our leaders are lacking. That integrity, that character is not there. They're more or less self-centered. That's the second point. They're self-centered. Being self-centered. Everything that they do is centered upon what they can get, or getting ahead, or keeping what they have. Getting reelected, or what material thing that they can get, it's all centered upon them. At that point, everything came centered upon Saul. That doesn't sound like a person that give God the power and the glory. That sounds like someone that's beating their own drum, beating and talking about what they have done, what they'll accomplish. If a man have to brag up on himself, that reputation is nothing. If you have to beat your own drum and brag about your accomplishments, you got a problem. This nation has a problem. Churches in this nation has a problem. He would go to any length to preserve his kingship. He had a daughter named Michal. He was afraid of David, so he said that he would give his daughter, that's prostituting his daughter, he would give his daughter Michal to David to ensnare David, because he didn't want David to be king and he was trying to cause trouble in David's life. That goes all the way down in my conclusion about his character. He's like Jacob was. You remember before God changed Jacob's name to Israel, he was a supplanter? That's what the leadership, that's what the churches are today. That's what the political leaders are today. They're connivers. They're subtle. I wouldn't trust any of them. I wouldn't put confidence in any of them. That's why you have to trust in Jesus. That's why your confidence and faith has to lie. They're no good. Don't put any confidence in man. He prostituted his own daughter for his to keep his position. Do we have any right now that uses their children or use their anything else to get ahead or try to stay ahead? Contemplate that now. Contemplate it. Do you know of anybody using their children? They put their children in positions and offices and in churches and places. That's nepotism. That's nepotism. And you remember, the people, when it came down to the brass tacks and things of the matter, they said, "Well, no, we're not going to follow you because your children are not following God." So sooner or later, man will turn on you that's after God's own heart. He's going to turn on himself. You'll see that Saul did that to himself. He turned on himself. David was progressing as king, and Saul, through his jealousy and envy, which shouldn't be characteristics of a person of God. That's why I say, I can't see where Saul was saved. None of these characteristics tell me he was saved. But when David was trying to escape from Saul, he went to a town and a priest that helped him, Abimelech. And after Saul found that out, Saul went after and killed all of the priests of God and their families for helping David. That's a murderer. He did something that he, in disobedience to God, he allowed the Amalekites to live. But here, in trying to protect his own kingship,
He killed this priest that had gave David and his men bread to eat. He killed all of these priests of God and all of their families. That's not characteristics of a saved person. That's without integrity. He was lacking those things, even though God had given him a new heart. That I say, it wasn't a heart to believe. That's why I say, in regeneration, faith comes before regeneration of that new heart, because a child of God has been repentant, and he's constantly repenting and turning from self, turning from the things of the flesh. Saul was continually carnal. He resorted to sorcery and witchcraft during the time as he was scared. You remember she said she was praying to God and wasn't counting on, we look toward God in the times of our trouble. When Saul would get in a tight, he would look for a man, to do things, or try to get himself out of a jam. Does that remind you of any of our leaders today? Does it remind you of any of your parents or any of your children? Any of the pastors, any of your political leaders? Does it remind you of them? Saul had once fought against and killed all of the witches of the land. But when he got in a tight, God wouldn't talk to him. He couldn't hear from God because God had stopped. When does God stop listening at his children? You remember he says, we have an advocate. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Saul had placed himself in a position he couldn't hear from God. God wouldn't talk to him. That's when he went to the witch of Endor, in which he had persecuted the witches, and asked him to bring up Samuel to him. That was necromancy, which was forbidden. It's forbidden. You shouldn't talk to the dead. Are these characteristics? Is this a man of integrity? Job was a man of integrity. He said, though God slay me, though I run into any kind of troubles and problem, yet I will serve God. I won't resort to getting off the beaten trail and doing that which I know God despises and an abomination to God. That's a man of integrity. A man of integrity, when he's under pressure, he won't fold. How many of our leaders today always excusing something he did because of something somebody else did? Blaming it on the people. Blaming it on another political leader. Blaming it on another preacher. Saul excused his action. Listen at what Samuel said. 15th chapter. 1 Samuel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go totally destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are totally eliminated. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why hadn't you done what God told you to do? He had reasons why he didn't do that. Like I tell you, it won't be excuses when God come back. You won't be able to blame this on your children as why you didn't follow the Lord. Each man will have to give account to God for the deeds done in his body. You can't blame this on your wife. You can't make up excuses why you didn't do what God had told you to do. Saul was a blame shifter. Where that started at? Anybody know where that started at? Did it start back in the garden when God had told Adam not to eat of the tree? Yeah. Well, look, the serpent did this, and my wife ate of it, and the serpent caught. What did I tell you though, Adam? See, that's one sign. We knew he wasn't a Christian. We knew he wasn't saved, because that's why we all in this fix today, because of disobedience, not listening at the word of God. That's why we're not bold and don't have any courage to stand up. Blame shifting. Saul in the 15th chapter, in the 15th verse says, Saul said, they have brought these things from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But the rest we've destroyed. Didn't I tell you to destroy everything and not take it upon yourself to halfway do what I told you to do? See, we like to give God a part of our tithes. We like to give God a part of our time. We like to give God a part of our attention. We like to give God just a few minutes of prayer. We like to give God what we want to give him, and then you excuse why you get busy, why you're not doing what you're supposed to do. He's not looking for excuses. That's why when he regenerates you and gives you a new heart, he gives you power to become sons of God. In other words, power to obey him, power to resist the flesh and mortify the deeds of the flesh. Your integrity starts. That's the regeneration. That's a new man. That's a man that's being made in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. You never heard him making excuses and blaming somebody else. You are becoming the Spirit. Once you regenerated, once you've given that heart, that's the power. He said he gave them power to become sons of God. We need that power. We rely upon him. Irrational decisions. Irrational and questionable decisions as a leader in a matter concerning Jonathan, his son. Do we see any of our leaders today acting irrational? Yep. Isn't this common among our leadership today? No integrity, but all full of irrational and questionable decisions of why they're doing things. Impatient and not seeking after God. Very impatient. Very impatient. Samuel had told Saul what to do. That if this go on, he says, meet me at Gilgal. Let me go into that after a while. But you remember that impatience. We have to learn patience. Patience builds up character. Through patient perseverance, sometimes you see that word perseverance there. In other words, the ability to go through trouble. I call several times. I call what it is, new motion or whatever, the company. And I told the lady, look, I'm not trying to be sarcastic or whatever, but she was all defenses and everything. And I said, well, look, apparently y'all not doing something right. You have a customer here that's in dire need, and you saying that y'all need this and have the wheels motion. She consistently blaming other problems and other things. And this sister having to persevere and go through because of someone else. And I kept trying to keep the conversation to where she wouldn't blame nobody else like everybody else doing. When things get bad for you just shoulder the height and just say, as the Lord, giving the Lord, take it away. And you just go through. Don't go to murmuring and complaining. You just persevere. God allowed this to happen. That's what David did. You remember when Absalom was after David, he said, well, I'll come back. If God wants me to be king, he'll restore me back to kingship. But he ran away, barefooted. He allowed people to curse him or whatever. But those things are learned. He says, God says, blessed are when men persecute you and do all manner of wrong and evil against you. That's a time when we develop in character and integrity to endure on the pressure, to endure on the hardship, to persevere and trust and have faith in God that all things work together for good for those that love God. Saul believed in the wisdom of men. Saul continually, each time he attempted to kill David, notice that David would catch him and could have killed Saul or whatever. And Saul would say, I repent, David. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry and I won't do this again. That's why I say Saul really wasn't a believer. Because Peter, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, when he told them how to receive the Holy Ghost, he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance, true repentance, is turning from your way and not going back and transgressing in those old ways again. Yeah. Mortifying the body. Not continuing in sin. Saul would repent, but the next week or the next month he was back trying to kill David. Stop going back to that same trough that God had pulled you out of. Like the dog returning to his vomit, of the pig returning and wallowing in the mire, in the muck. Stop doing these things. He's giving you power. If you have the Spirit of God and you have the faith of Jesus Christ, you can and know that you can overcome everything who Christ, who strengthens you, who's within you. He's given you that power to overcome these things. Stop letting the elements and the things of this world keep you in bondage to them and subject to them. Stop letting people bring you into bondage. Once you repent, God shows you where you are and what you are, and you turn from that. Stop turning back around a second time. The sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God does not require that we assist him, but that the word spoken shall come to pass. He don't need our help. He don't need our help. That's why I say he initiates regeneration. He initiated giving Saul a new heart. But see, Saul wasn't doing anything. When God does this, you remember I told you repentance? If God's initiating this and we have faith in God, we start to turn ourselves. We start saying, what I did do, I'm not going to do anymore, because God's word says I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to follow you around. I don't have to have your approval. I don't have to have your company. I don't have to do anything that God's word says that I don't have to do. He's making me the head and not the tail. That I'm a son of God. He's empowering me. He says, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. So if he's giving you of his spirit, that spirit has given you, you might not have might of power, but the spirit is what's giving you life. He had promised you eternal life. All you have to do is trust and believe in Jesus Christ that it is finished. All you have to do is walk therein. That's where your integrity is. Some things a man just won't do. Man won't do, he won't do. And you start being a man of God's word. See, Saul would double back on his word. But you believe that God has promised that. He says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. You walk after Jesus Christ. You walk after his word. And he's going to make you to have that power. He's going to allow you to eat of the tree of life. That whole thing from Romans, we read that about the gifts of God. And when God empowers us not to walk and follow after those things, I tell you, it causes loyalty to God. Loyalty to God. If you read, when Saul made God made Saul king. The 10th chapter in the 26th verse says, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. God gives you a following. When David was fleeing Saul, David had problems. God caused men to join himself to David that was in afflictions and had problems, but they were loyal to David. God caused these people to be loyal to Saul. It wasn't anything Saul had did. God had caused them to be loyal and faithful. I was here one day and Dickman Hubbard came in and he said, you know, God has sent me here. Boy, that 8, 9, 10 years ago, however long it's been, he always kind of reminded me, no, God, Pastor, I ain't going to where God had told me. If God had told you to come here, if God had put that in your heart, I'm not worried about you going anywhere. If you go anywhere, that's because God told you. Or you allowed yourself to be moved. See, Saul was dependent on how the people felt, not realizing God causes faithfulness. God causes all things, that God is sovereign, in that if God's for us, who can be against us? If somebody leaves, that meant they wasn't on your side anyway. These are people that's after man's heart. But I told you he was going to have to turn from Saul, because Saul was a man after the people's hearts.
He wasn't after God's heart. He was trying to find out what did the people think. You have to stop worrying about the opinion of man. You have to stop worrying about how many followers you have on Twitter and social media like Facebook and everything else. I don't care what you think about me, what the Lord thinks about it. You think about that. What does the Lord think? God says, look, I'm going to reject him, but I'm looking at David. Now I make David king. What did he say about David? He said David was a man after God's own heart. See, David committed murder. David committed adultery. But David was a man after God's own heart. You remember I told you, through our disobedience in the book of Romans, the gifts of God is not unto repentance. In other words, God has committed us all unto sin and disobedience. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But do you have God in your heart? Do you have the pursuit of pleasing God? Turning from your way and seeing what you are, you just want to please God. You know you done did some wrong thing, but I want to know what I can do to please God. How can I walk after him? That rejection came. Saul kept doing things that he shouldn't have done. Samuel didn't come on time. And Saul offered up an offering. And God says to obey is better than the sacrifice. Being obedient to the word of God is what's necessary. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter and 11th verse. It says, it repented me that have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried all night long, but God had rejected Saul. You remember I told you the most important thing is God's word?
Yeah.
Following his commandments. He told Adam not to touch that tree. He says, obey my word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Let's make this an early dating. In conclusion, we will conclude this. Don't get too happy, though, because this is a long conclusion. When we refuse to hear God's calling us out of Babylon. Remember Revelation 18, it says, come out of my people. When you stop wanting a king, when you stop looking at that man's to solve your problem, when you stop looking at nationalities, when you stop looking at all these different ethnics, when you stop listening and looking at people and get your eyes on God and come out of the world. He said, be ye separate and come out from among them, and I'll be your God. You'll be my people. 18th to the 19th verse of the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel. It says, the Lord has done this to you today. Because you refuse to carry out his fierce anger against Amalekites. What's more, the Lord will hand you and the army of Israel over to the Philistines tomorrow. This is what happened when he had went and sought the witch at Endor. God, you remember I told you he answers you according to your own heart?
Yeah.
They hadn't changed their heart. They were reprobate hearts just like the people today. They're looking at another leader. They're looking at the world. They're looking at the United States. They're looking at their pastors. They're looking at men. And God says, because you hadn't done what I told you to do, I'm going to turn you over to the Philistines. Now, he said this through Samuel, which God allowed this witch to bring up a figure that resembles Samuel. So sometimes even demonic spirits may preach and teach the word of God to you. See, God uses all types. He used Balaam's ass to speak to Balaam. Here was a donkey he riding on, turning and saying, haven't I been a good donkey to you all these years? The reason he turned, he used a cock crowing three times to bring Peter to his senses. God can use anything to speak to us. Saul had reverted to witchcraft, and he spoke to him. The witch knew she didn't have anything, which she said, whoa, aren't you Saul? You didn't trick me here because something ain't right here. He was a woman, a palm reader, a sorcerer, a witchcraft, and she knows something was wrong. This isn't right. God is involved. When something, a circumstance occur in your life, you should see God in it, but sometimes it's the end of the road. It was the end of the road for Saul. It was the end of the road. He says, You and your sons will be here with me. The Lord will bring down the entire army of Israel in defeat. He's going to kill you. He's going to kill your sons. And the nations will fall. Our leader, our political leaders, our spiritual leaders, and the whole nation will fall that's not following God, that hasn't developed that integrity. God's going to choose a remnant people. There will be a restoration of God's people, those that's enduring His word. But God is not mocked just because you think you have religion, just because you think God had made you something. It was a reason He did that, but you didn't humble yourself. You didn't become what God was leading you to do. Your worst nature has come out. The look at this nation, the look at this political and spiritual leadership of this nation, it is abhorrent. It has no moral stability, and it has no integrity, no character. That has to be gone. The government of God is what stands. Wherever the churches and things at, the people will fall. But the kingdom of God is still growing. Those that are in Christ have that eternal life, and they're doing valiantly even at this hour. A child of God that's been regenerated don't continue in sin, wanting his own way, wanting honor and glory. You know, people and our leaders now, they want to be honored. Their ministry, they name the ministry after them, and it's all sorts of, that's the reason they fell during the flood. You remember, it was people of renown, great spiritual leaders in other words, those days. You had prominent preachers in those days. You had all types of prominent leaders. Man was continually evil, and God said, I'm going to have to destroy the earth. See, this time He's not going to do it the same way. But it's going to be through a famine of lacking of hearing God's word and the rod of His spirit. In other words, we will continue to preach the gospel and preach the word of God, and that's what's going to condemn the man. That's what's going to condemn man. That rod, the word is the rod. It's the sword that proceeded out of His mouth. And those that are naming the name of Christ but hadn't departed from iniquity shall pay the price, because that's one of His commandments, that you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And a lot of people are calling upon the name of Jesus but are not walking in His word and not walking in His ways. You're bringing judgment upon yourself. By your own words you condemn. By your own words, what you're speaking out of, Saul's own words condemned him. He wasn't a saved man. He was one that wanted glory and honor. And that's what people would want today. Listen at this. He had did God wrong. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, the 30th through the 31st verse. This shouldn't be a child of God. He says, Saul said, I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me. Look, stay on my side. How many senators, how many representatives, how many governors, how many people in churches today are sticking with fallen preachers, preachers that have openly failed from grace, but yet still their churches are full? How many political leaders see what our leaders in Washington are doing, or the leaders in the state capital, in your cities, what's becoming up on them, and they're still voting with this, so we go vote along party line. They're not considering what's right or what's wrong, who they're hurting or what's going on. Our government is a sham. We have people that's handicapped in wheelchairs and all this, and we have all kinds of programs, but these programs are not doing what they're supposed to do. If you mean to tell me if I can't move around, I'm on a governmental program, but I have to stay locked in my wheelchair 2 or 3 days and can't move because you can't give me a proper battery, a proper chair? And yet and still the government taking billions of dollars. Somebody need to fix those problems. You need to stop trusting in men. When you are pressing the widows and everything, why do you think we're getting hit? Now, remember now, man angles preaching and teaching. How many preachers came out and say that Katrina was a result of the gay pride parade and the gay thing that was going on in New Orleans, the reason Katrina hit? That's all you heard, huh?
Why did Harvey hit? How many are preaching the reason Harvey hit Houston then? Why aren't they preaching the same thing when the hurricane hit Florida? Why weren't they preaching the same thing when devastation came to Eastern Coast? They're using religion for their own progress, for their own need. They're not seeing that God has a people in all nations, those that worship Him in spirit and truth. It is not by locality. It's not by geography. You're preaching the word of God for gain. That's been there. That's been doing a long time. They're wanting honor. They're wanting something out of that. They're wanting people to follow them. And that's all our political leaders say. Oh, I'm religious. I believe in the Bible. But yet and still, you're doing things that are not very biblical. You're doing things that God says don't do. And you know these people character. And you said, and you knew he was a crook before you put him in there. You know he was a woman chaser before you put him in there. You knew he hated these people before you put him in there. You knew what his characteristics was. And he has said nothing about changing. These people are saying nothing about changing. They are what they are. These leaders are what they are, political and religiously, and yet still we're putting people in that don't have any integrity. Disobedience. We're being disobedient to God, thinking, and the preachers that were hollering, Saul was saved. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Let me see you're saved by your faith, by your works. Let's look at your works and examine them. You remember I told you Saul disobeyed a direct order. 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter and the 8th verse. Samuel had told him ahead of time, he says, Thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what shalt thou do. Don't do anything and I'll show you what to do. Now you know Saul was made king within that time that had your garrisons of the Philistines that was throughout Israel during that time. Israel didn't have any weapons or anything. They had to go to the Philistines. But Saul, Jonathan's son, had started a fight with the Philistines and had become despised in the Philistines' eyes. They had become an abomination to the Philistines. He had stirred them up, and then the Philistines came down on them and was about to go to war with them, and they were outmatched. Saul was scared to death. He was so afraid, and the men started around him, started bailing and jumping ship, and he didn't know what to do. And he says, we can't go to battle without God. God always says, pray and offer up sacrifices before you go into battle. Where's God's prophet? I can't keep waiting on him. He offered up the offering. And it's just like God. He waits till after you do something to come. You know, where was God when Adam and Eve ate of that tree? Before Eve and she was talking to the serpent and she was about to take of that fruit and Adam was about to eat it. Did God stop and jump out and say, hold it, Adam, don't eat. You remember I told you not to eat of it?
No.
Did God, when Saul was about to offer up that offering, did he say, Samuel, say, hey, here I am, don't do it? Because as soon as he did it, before he offered it up good, Samuel came on the scene. But you remember I told you about patience and endurance?
Yeah.
He had told him what to do. You know, sometimes God wants to see your faith.
Yeah.
He didn't tell Abraham not to give Sarah to these men. He wanted to see whether he would have faith to trust and be God. See, that's why I say faith comes first. Faith and faith comes first. If he had faith to wait upon God, those that wait upon God shall renew their strength. God's going to save you. He's going to do it in his own time, not in our time. See, that's what Saul liked. He didn't want to wait on God. That's when Samuel said, you did foolishly tonight because I told you what God's word say. As a preacher, all I can do is tell y'all what God's word say.
clearly Saul's self-will surfaces. Early in his reign, this is all part of the conclusion, because I told you we have to look at self and what we had did, and that's how we know. In Bible study, you'll go back and see, now maybe I can see the levels of the progression of what's going on in my life, and I can't follow hermeneutics to the point that I teach or preach to you in this way. It has to be line upon line, precept upon precept, and I want you to put this together. I don't want to give you a sermon where you have it all like me and write books now that go along with the Bible, 12 steps to this and 12 steps to that. God wants you to study on His Word, meditate in it day and night. He's going to give you an answer. He's going to put this in context for you. I'm just trying to simplify it a little bit. He tests, you remember I said testing your character? Now, I don't know if David had or not, but these women were doing this. They went out the 18th chapter, and when Saul and David came back, the women were saying, Saul has killed his 1,000, David has killed his 10,000. He listening at what the women are saying, now they giving David credit for his crowd size, how many people he's killed, and they're not doing this for me. We got one of the people that resigned from the White House that was a press secretary. They said it was hard time for him to find a job after leaving the White House because his credibility was shot. See, sometimes you work for the devil, he wants to kill and destroy your character. This was a good reporter before he went to work for that administration. This is the one that had told the crowd about crowd sizes. He reported that this man's crowd was larger than that man's crowd. You know, we get worried about who got the biggest. Who's the biggest? I got 10,000 people in my church. Well, I have the largest church in the nation, and I have many followers. And what kind of quality are they? Are they good, strong people? Or you have a church full of people that will be burned up as tares? You know, God may be just gathering the tares together in one big barn to burn them all up. See, God don't need a whole lot. But he lost all credibility because he's speaking for another man or whatever, and he's not speaking the truth. Whatever happens, you speak the truth. See, jealousy entered in to Saul, and you can tell children that are not of God because they are jealous of other people. We got a leaders, and a lot of our presidents have done it. They can't get their job done for trying to destroy what the other president did. You got this preacher, he can't preach for trying to talk about what this preacher ain't doing and who a false prophet or not. You got leaders worried about other leaders, worried about hoeing your own row. Let the other fellas alone. Don't worry about he's doing what God called him to do. You do what God called you to do. Stop being jealous and envious of how big a church, or how big a crowd, or how many people follow this person. Envy and jealous, those are not characteristics of children of God. Can you see through God, Saul's characteristics here? That he wasn't saved, that he wasn't a child of God? Because this was continually getting worse. It eventually killed him. He eventually died. Killed himself. This person, our leaders are killing themselves, trying to take a lot of us out with them. But regeneration, a true regeneration, a new heart, it leads to eternal life. And see, the kind of heart he gave Saul was the kind of heart that Adam developed in the fall. That's the kind of heart. Adam didn't have a heart of purity. God birthed him with a heart of purity, but something happened in that fall. And we have to look at the physical and the spiritual aspects in the fall. Look at the third chapter of Genesis in the 22nd verse. Adam was allowed to live physically many a year after he ate of the tree. But God had told him he shall surely die. Right? He did die that day spiritually and physical. It's just the physical death required longer, and you can see the physical and you can't see into the spiritual. It requires faith to see by the Spirit. It requires faith. And the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing how to distinguish between good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life as well as and eat its fruit and live in this fallen state of this sinful condition forever." That's why he put him out of the garden, so he wouldn't live forever like that. And that's why I say Saul wasn't saved. God wouldn't want us living like Saul. Saul thought his kingship was always in jeopardy. We know that what God had made us is forever. We know our salvation is assured in Jesus Christ. We know our blessings are assured in Jesus Christ. We have no reason to be jealous or envious of no one else. We only develop better and better character. We develop patience and knowledge and wisdom and understanding as the character. Look at David's character. It says David grew in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He conducted himself before the Lord. That's characteristics of a saved person. In contrast to Saul's characteristics that was always worried, always jealous, and continually killing and disobeying God and doing things against the word of God. Those are in stark contrast to people that saying Saul was saved. That's why I say once he gives you a new heart, you don't have a desire to sin anymore. Sin is obnoxious to you. It's really pungent in your nose. You fight against this. You grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of God. That's why I say I don't want him to live forever. How would you like to live forever in that condition? How would you like to live in a nation like we are today? You know, they said in this administration they have now, a lot of the staffers and people are applying for new jobs and trying to get them a good job. Normally it takes a year or two to build up credentials in the White House, and then you can go out and get a better job making much more. But see, they're in fear of their jobs. They're in fear of existing because how would you like if I had to preach and word about whether I was going to be the pastor? How would you like to come to church and word that your salvation is not sure, that God might not keep you, that this might not happen for you? They say they're in fear every day working in their job. They're backstabbing one another. It's an atmosphere, a condition of competitiveness, each one outdoing each other. That's no way to live. We need to live in love, helping one another, honoring one another, and in prosperity, God blesses us that way. That's the character, that's eternal life. That's what God's looking for out of us. That's a person with integrity. Integrity is like Job says, "Though God slay me, though I lose all I have, yet will I serve him. He can bury me." Okay, if you die, I'm going to be raised in Christ. Amen. I'm not going to kill and destroy other nations to live. Listen at what he says. This is those that are receiving. Are we to be like Christ? In his likeness? In his image? So the heart that we have should imitate Christ, right? In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the first through the 15th verse is how we should duplicate Jesus Christ. What happens when the Spirit comes into our lives? When that heart, when the faith in Christ is, this is what happened. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Once he gives us his Spirit, regenerates, making that new heart, The spirit of wisdom and understanding. Because the fear of the Lord gives us wisdom, and that's the beginning of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. In other words, we're able to talk to one another. God always says, try diplomacy. Did Saul try the diplomacy, or did he go out fighting the Philistine? "We'll destroy all of y'all. We'll do this." You don't threaten. God's people never threaten.
God's people, when Jephthah went out, he eventually had to fight, but he tried diplomacy first. Always tried diplomacy. Don't be double-minded. They jumped up, threatened these people and threatened that person. Now you back trying diplomacy. It's hard to talk to a man after you done threatened. It's very hard.
It says, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Saul didn't ever think about the Lord. He didn't ever say, oh, I can't do that sacrifice. I'm not supposed to be doing that. That's only reserved for the priests and God's word. The man that made me king, that God anointed me king through, told me what to do, and I'm going to need to follow God's word. Yes. You need to be quick and instant, and that's what God's word does. Let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now you're developing God-like characteristics. Now you're looking to have eternal life. Now you're becoming sons of God. There's no way that Saul was becoming a son of God. David was becoming a son of God, because if you look at David's life, David was learning from his mistakes, and David was continually trying to please God. There's a difference in a new heart, and there's a difference in being regenerated and giving a new nature, a God nature. All he gave Saul was leadership ability like he gave to Samson, and he moved up on the hearts of many men, because God is sovereign. There's no king, no president, no leader in this world can do what he wants to do. Even the hearts of kings, God is in God's hand. He turns the kings on. God's running this. No matter what you say, God's running this. Whether you serve God or not, God's bigger than you. Just because you reject and ignore God, God doesn't have to wipe you out. A man that's a man don't have to be insecure in other people talking about him and saying what he not. If you're a real man, it don't make you no difference what other people say, because you are not what they say you are. Women even have that out. God can give women the power to lead as men lack. Michelle Obama had said, when they go low, we go high. Don't get out in the mud. Our leader right now, call this man a name. Call another leader a name. Now this leader himself this week has said something that a leader shouldn't do. Now they're in a name-calling contest. You don't want to get in a name-calling contest with nobody. You don't want to make this thing personal. That's of low character, low moral. When I start, after a while, you're going to be talking about each other's mom and daddy. You're talking about each other. Now what you going to do? This is how man degenerates. Man's not evolving. Man's not getting any better. He hadn't been changed by the Spirit of God. He says, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins. We must be strong and courageous. We must start acting as the children of God. We must start thinking as the children of God. We must walk as sons of God. We are becoming the sons of God. I can look at your character. People on your job is looking at your character. They're looking to see, do you have any integrity? You can say what you want, and preachers can say what they want, but your action speaks louder than words. Your action speaks louder than your words. People will watch. You're accomplished about by so many witnesses out there. Don't lack integrity. Don't lack integrity. You have to be a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God.